Well, I for one, and I also for the many, have been greatly, expressed, put it this way, our deepest appreciation for the contribution through the years that Howie Hendricks has made to the work of the Navigators, both to me personally and to all of us, and to the navigators in various parts of the world. And I'm looking forward, to, for instance, for next summer, I think we'll be ministering together at the Europe Staff Conference. And it's just a great, great delight, stimulus, and personal help. Sure appreciate it, Howie. Now, tonight, I have three things here. I had about four or five messages to bring, and trying to resist the temptation of bringing them all. I have three parts to this. The first part is something that's totally unnecessary, but it's part of my job, so I'll go over that. And then you'll see in a minute what I mean. I'm a nut on this subject. And three guesses what it is, and the first two guesses don't count. The second will be, we talk about the future. I think we ought to know how we are doing now in the light of our objectives for the future. And I don't think that you have been apprised of our evaluation as a result of our divisional directors' conference. And so I'd like to go over that with you, and any questions that you have to ask anywhere along the line, well, this is a give and take thing. And then if there's any time, I do have a plaintive little talk to break. A little talk I had yesterday morning. I was almost asked if I could have brought it yesterday morning because I was all steamed up to have a real fire-eating sermon, and I have the same sermon, but it's plaintive tonight. So you'll see what I mean if I get to it. And instead of exclamation marks, I put questions after the end of each of my headings. So we'll see. I've told some of you about the NAV rep we had a few years ago. The fact that he is no longer with us does not relate to this particular instance. But it seemed like whenever somebody from headquarters would get out to his area, he'd be riding along in the car, and he'd say, "Now, hey, would you tell me once more now, just what is that that we're doing? Now, what is it we're trying to do?" Well, as I say, I don't know whether that's why he's not with us now or not. But this went over for a number of years. Once more, now, what is it we're trying to do? Well, we came up with some quantitative goals. So many disciple makers, so many NAV disciples, so many area reps. Whatever the guys down there think about the numbers game of coming up with the statistics, I know one thing that this has caused. I really don't know anybody that I've heard of or seen in the last year around the Navigators that does not know what it is we're after. It has certainly made that very clear. And if there is some other better way of making it clear, well, we're open to suggestions, but it has done that anyway. But the question is, what is our business? Now, I had a couple things. I wish I had worked out something else that I had in mind. And next time you get together, I got another sermon ready for you, too, on duples. To this, to that, to the other. Trying to make everything simple. But what is our business? You know, people say, what is your business? I think maybe I told you at the American Management Association, that president's thing, I would try out some answers. I said, well, our business is disciple making. Yeah, I got no response on that whatsoever. And I thought, well, we're sort of an evangelistic organization. We're just trying things out. And then I tried one. I said, well, we are in the business of meeting people's spiritual needs. And you know, in that particular context with those guys, that registered. They just caught that right away. Yeah, they're in the business of meeting spiritual needs. And of course, that's what we are. We talked about it one time. We're in the business of meeting people's spiritual needs and of developing spiritual need meters. That is our business. It really is. You know, I talked about you needed a philosophy of life, philosophy of society, the philosophy of work. All those three questions, what am I going to live my life for, who am I going to live it with, what am I going to live it in? And a little philosophy of work is that to meet people's spiritual needs constitutes legitimate work. For that to be your vocation. There are people who wonder if that really is legitimate work. That is legitimate work. Now in the Navigators we jog. We try successfully and unsuccessfully to watch the diet. We generally speaking work on the physical aspect, but we are not a YMCA. We do study, but we are not a movement for the education of the intellect. And we are socially concerned and should meet social needs where we meet them, but we are not a relief agency. Are we? We are primarily grouped together, called by God to meet spiritual needs. And as I said to the AMA people, I said, now, if I got a response on this, that our business is meeting spiritual needs, then I would say, and of course, our answer is the Christian answer. And of course, in contrast to the Hindu, Buddhist, or Mohammedan, or whoever else. Then if they seem to be still interested, I would say, and now if you would like to classify us a little more carefully, we are among those Christians who hold to two basic foundational beliefs. One, that Jesus is who he said he was. And second, that the Bible is what it claims to be. Well, then if they wanted to know who Jesus said he was or what the Bible claims to be, of course, then I'd carry on. So I had my own little deal worked out there. And you know, I hardly had a coffee break to myself. In fact, I rarely got to coffee. Always somebody up afterwards asking some questions. And of course, those two foundation stones are the deity of Christ and the authority of the Scripture. And Jesus linked them together. Whoever is afraid, ashamed of me and of my words, those two foundational stones. And everything we do comes from there. So out of the Bible, and particularly out of the last commands of our teacher and Lord, we get our aim. The Great Commission. Christ's last command. Those things that he spoke, particularly by way of orders, between his resurrection and his ascension. In John 20, you remember it said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. No. He said peace, but that's not what he said. John 20, 21. Yeah, peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. Where was that spoken? Where was this?
Snapped at a table.
Yeah, and where? What place?
Jerusalem.
Right, on what, when, on what day?
Birthday.
When?
Birthday.
The first day. Right, on the first Easter Sunday, evening. And who was there?
10.
Minus who?
Judas and Thomas.
Judas and Thomas. Okay, Matthew 28, where was that? 19 and 20, where was that, where did that take place?
In Galilee.
Up in Galilee. When? Oh, some think about a week later. At least it took a little time to get up there. Who was there?
11.
And we know what he said. What about Luke? Where was that? We don't know. When was this? Well, it was the whole time. Whom? The 11. And it looks like Luke gives us a summary of everything he said on the subject between the resurrection and the ascension. We could go into that. What about Acts 1? Where was that? Mount of Olives, and when?
40 days.
Right, Ascension Day, 40 days later. Who was there? Of course, we know what he said. Probably then Romans 15 gives us about as good a summary as the whole, everything that was said in the Great Commission as you could find, I think. But what we, our aim, is taken out of the Great Commission. I just go over that quickly to remind us that I think with our key people, we should constantly be going back to what did Jesus really say and put these together. That's the basis. From that we get our aim. And our aim is to help fulfill the Great Commission by making disciples and developing disciple makers in every nation. One more time, what is it? That's right, it's men. Doss coined the word reproducers. Then for a while we used the term multiplying disciples, and that was supposed to mean two things in the same set of words, and that's always difficult, so we had to break them up into two parts, and we called it making disciples and developing disciple makers. The heart of the whole thing always has been, still is, the idea of men and the idea of multiplying. So in the word disciple maker, we have both thoughts, don't we? It's impossible to have a disciple maker without making disciples. Right? So the heart of the whole business is a disciple maker, and navigator equals disciple maker. For years we struggle, what is a navigator? Well, I've decided for myself what a navigator is. He's a disciple maker who wants to be called a navigator. He may be a disciple maker who doesn't want to be called a navigator, and so then he didn't have to be. It's good seed, it's Shamgar. So our business, or the focal point, is disciple making. Right? Well, my question later is going to be, who's keeping the store? For the last month, I haven't done one lick toward making any disciples anywhere outside my family. I hope somebody is working at the Navigator. And what I want to show you here, I have not contributed toward. I hope somebody is at work. I'll come back to that thought. Okay, what about the future of the navigators? This is the aim, remember? To create a broad enough base geographically and deep enough in personnel and support to carry the navigator ministry into every nation in the world in the 1980s. Now, I'm a conservative guy. I am opposed to sloganizing that puts ideals out in front of people that's impossible to gain. We've actually had struggles with staff people over that very subject of slogans that I thought had to do with impossible objectives that precipitated their leaving. I think that great slogans in years gone by may have recruited a lot of people, but nobody reports how many disillusioned people that left behind 10 to 15 years later. And I cannot conscientiously give myself to something that's just picked out of the air. But that corporate aim is not picked out of the air. Now, maybe call it a lack of faith or whatever you want. I still think it takes plenty of faith to believe this, but I believe that it's a reasonable goal coupled with faith, and that is, in fact, what we're aiming for. And if Rod Sargent is right, that in 1980 we'll handle $30 million, in 1985, at the present rate, the Navigators International will handle $95 million, I have no idea what's involved. I don't know if we can even hang together past 30 million. We may blow in 17 different directions. I don't know. I don't know how to manage that. I don't know how to manage a multinational, multicultural work. I don't know if you guys do. Why, I'll see you afterwards, and you've got yourselves a job. But I do know this, that is the direction we're headed, regardless of the problems it brings. And we're going to work on the ministry, and we'll worry about the administry as it comes along. If that means to create 20 autonomous, independent navigator works, we'll do that. If it means having 20 different names for the same work, we'll do that. far as I'm concerned, whatever it takes to accomplish that, we'll do that. But that's the aim. So then we set for the 70s some corporate objectives. And there's that famous or infamous 15% per year. I told somebody this earlier this year. I still get a little feedback. Lorne, that particular goal or objective makes the Navigator work too staff-centered. And in fact, I had a little breakfast to the guys who go out and travel from the Glen. I said, look, when you get around, if you want to just get one word around, that Sandy, for one, is in no mood whatsoever to lift that quota or goal. And the main thing I'm thinking about is increasing that to 20% rather than 15. Because as far as we know today, we do not know how to stimulate the movement around the world that we are praying for and working toward apart from fully qualified official representatives as a catalyst for that ministry. We're not going to do it with representatives, but we need them as catalysts. And can you believe that 15 years ago people were sidling up to me and telling me they thought the Navigator work was getting too big? Well, it isn't big now, it's dinky. I think we have some possibilities of getting there, but it's still dinky. You know, this is a pretty big world. Pretty big world. So, that was one. And produce an annual ratio of new disciple makers to reps of at least 5 to 1. Now we're trying to figure out some way to measure progress, and we came up with this as a means of measuring production. And this was quite a little experimentation talking, and that is a corporate average. That doesn't mean that each rep has responsibility for 5 new disciple makers. It means that some may have to produce 20 as opposed to someone else's 3, because it's a lot harder to get them in a foreign culture where you're just learning the language and you're a foreigner. This has to do with a corporate average, and then if we don't make it, it gives us a basis on which to ask questions. But it is not an individual personal goal. Well, corporate, there's a word that's right there, but I can only get half of it. Half of the word is some. It's some or other. Produce new disciples annually at a ratio of 12 NAV disciples to each rep. Here again, that's an overall average. If we have 100 reps, then we ought to have produced that year 1,200 new disciples. And time will tell how close these ratios are. In fact, we've got some statistics right now at this stage to see how close we are on those ratios. Increase the gift income by 25% per year. And I remember just 2 years ago, we thought that 15% was probably stretching it. But we have to remember here again, and some people still wonder about this, increase reps by 15% and the income by 25%. Why the difference? Well, one thing, you have to increase your income by 15% per year just to stay even. Inflation, for one thing. Increase in size of families, for another thing. So it has to exceed it. To develop 18 new Navigator representative sending countries, which is the key to our strategy for the 80s, so that we can give us an extreme amount of flexibility and latitude as to what nationalities to send to what parts of the world, and cultural aspects and all of this. Begin an official Navigator work in 20 new countries. Build up a staff of 80 RDs. Put a little question mark by that. That's on the assumption that that is the best intermediate management structure to have, and it may be and it may not be. We're studying that right now. Build up a staff of 10 divisional directors. Any question on that? I know you've seen this before, but let's not forget what, one more time, what is it that we're trying to do? That's what we're trying to do. Any question? Okay, we've taken that and then worked out more detailed three-year plan. And this three-year plan, since we changed our planning year in the middle of it, and want to have our planning year to be from September 1 to August 31, instead of a December 31 date, 72, we set our goals for the first 3 years, 70, 71, and 72, and then we just decided we'd meet them by August 31 of 72. 4 months earlier than the plan. So it was to produce 69 new area reps. Then we'd have a total of 174, and that allows for a 3% annual loss, which is probably a little high. Produced 1,980 new disciple makers, 4,752 new disciples, and the gift income should amount to this in these given years. Establish England, Holland, Malaysia, Singapore, and Canada as a sending country. Complete establish stage one in New Zealand, Australia, Korea, Lebanon, and Sweden. Send out 29 new missionaries. Open new works in these countries. Now we'll see how we did, or how we are doing up to this point. Well, I think we've got ourselves a typographical error. I'll have to... One of the greatest men of faith I know is Bill Bright. I said to him one day, is it true that I read in the paper that you want 10,000 new staff people by such and such a date? And he said to me, I don't know what figure you heard. He said, but whatever it is, I'm thinking of more than that. So, this, I don't know this kind of a slip this is here or not, but that's supposed to be produced 69, not 697. We fully expect to have 52 of those 69 by December 31 that are now scheduled. There's another word I want. I'm not thinking too clearly here. That means we need 17 more in 72. And as it is, we have 43 that we think will become representatives in 72, right. Which, if they all made it, would exceed our goal by what? 16. What was that? You know, I may be ignorant, but I'm not stupid. And why do you think I've asked Walt Hendrickson to come back to headquarters? I figure he has the most information. I don't mind the guys behind the bushes as long as I know they're there. That suits me. In fact, I told Skip I'm happy to have them if I know they're there. That's right. And I have a lot of bush peeker-unders around the country. That's why
we've got half of them up in trees.
What was that? Is that one of your guys you tell about that you sent him out to rake leaves and he... What happened to him?
Well, he came into the cast on his leg and I said, what happened? He said, I fell out of a tree.
So I go looking around for these guys with casts in their legs, and know that's the bench. That's a lot to be thankful for, isn't it? That really is. Yeah, that's coming along real well. And now, to produce 1,980 new disciple makers, as of May 1971, we should have had, we figured out, about 790. And we estimate, that is, in other words, it's not a precise figure, for we wouldn't you know, money on the line on it, we'd have 711 toward that. That's about where we are. Should have 790 at this point, have 711, which is a little behind, but pretty close. So our ratio there, at least as a little guide to measure by, is not too bad. Of course, we'll have it as 10 to 1 someday, but right now it's 5 to 1. Produce 4,752 new disciples, a ratio of 12 to 1. As of May, we should have had 1,892, and we put together our figures, we figured we have 2,400, which exceeds it by quite a little bit then at this point. And also, I think we figured out that that ratio hits it about right on the head, didn't we, Jack?
Yes.
Now here, those are ratios, those are not quotas. This is to give us some mean by which to measure. That's why we went to the ratio route. And we may find a better way of measuring, so we can begin to ask ourselves questions. But you see, if you're going to evaluate, you compare where you are with where you ought to be. You've got to know where you ought to be in order to compare where you are. Is that right? Yeah, our mathematician says that's true. Increase the gift income by 25% per year. 1970 over 69 was a 44% increase, which is really something. Thus far, the first quarter of this year over the first quarter of last year was 26.2%, which exceeds the goal. However, we approved a budget increase of 30% for 71. So we have an order. Keep an eye on it. And so after 6 months, we'll take a look at it and see how we're doing. Any question then on this far, on the evaluation of where we are to this date on these three-year objectives? All right, let's take a look at the rest of them. Thank you. Establish England, Holland, Malaysia, Singapore, and Canada as sending countries. England will be on schedule in 72. Also Malaysia, Singapore, they might make it in August of this year. Holland has been recycled for 73. And Canada has been recycled for 73, if that's okay with the Canadians. And that's one thing when you get your Canadian staff together to see if they, if that's the goal they want to shoot for, or if you have another one. Now, one of the great values of setting that as a goal is that it has caused us to do some examining of where we are and what constitutes a sending country. What do we mean by a broad enough base that made us ask questions we wouldn't have thought of asking, and then to go to work on it from that point of view. So having the objectives, that's the important thing, whether we have to recycle them or not. Complete established stage one in these four places in Korea on schedule for 72. They have five contact points operating now. And I just quickly put down a couple highlights. They need cross-training especially. And the matter of financing as we send people out is a critical matter to solve. Lebanon is being recycled for 72, so we'll not make the first three-year goal. And the broad base is lacking. That is the broad base of the ministry, as well as financial support. New Zealand, Australia is on schedule now for 72, six contact points out. Sweden is on schedule for 72, and an emphasis there needs a broader base of ministry, more NAV disciples and disciple makers. So that's where we are in those goals that we set. Send out 29 new missionaries. I made a quick calculation this afternoon, and we could exceed it by 10 for the first 3 years of the 70s. And uh, Hope and New Works in Spain, France, Finland, Iran, Uganda, and Taiwan. Spain is done. France on the way. Finland done. Iran recycled for 73. Uganda on the way. Taiwan done. And Eastern Europe has been added. I had a personal objective number 9 was to appoint, select, and train the 6th DD, and that has been done in Walt Hendrickson, at least the selected part, and Walt's coming to work with me for a couple of years. All right, that's the progress toward the goals in the first, at this stage, of the 3-year objectives. Any questions?
Can we get copies of these on?
I'm going to, I'll put this out or a reasonable facsimile thereof in a Dear Staff letter this week.
Was there any explanation or discussion on why we were about 78 disciple makers under our estimate, as I talked about?
Help me on that, fellows. Was there any... Why do we think we were a little behind our disciple-maker quota? Can you recall?
One reason was that we actually upgraded the profile in the, about a year into the plan, so that was part of it.
And incidentally, that was one thing that Scotty brought up and we all agreed to, and I needed the suggestion. That is not monkey with that profile for a while until we've had a chance to use it for a bit, even though we might think there's some things that need to be improved or changed. So we'll at least see the first 3-year period through with those profiles.
The number of missionaries going out looks like it might exceed 10 in number. I wonder if that might in some way affect the production of disciple makers, since they would be disciple makers that would be going over if we were exceeding our percentage in sending disciple makers out. I'm wondering if that's been considered on how that will affect the production of disciple makers here in America.
Oh, it'll definitely affect it. There's no doubt about that. It'll decrease in America, and it will numerically affect us in our total picture. Because a missionary just can't produce disciple makers anywhere near as fast as he could if he were in his own language and home country. And with our self-imposed guideline of 50% of our reps being missionaries, we will not have the same production ratio as we would have if we kept them all in their native country. But our aim is for the 80s is to get this ministry into every nation of the world, and that doesn't mean that we'll have a full-time representative in Liechtenstein, for instance, but maybe the man from Switzerland can have a couple key people over in Liechtenstein. You ever heard of Liechtenstein? I had until we went through it one night in 3 minutes. All right, any other question or comment? Yes, Lauren?
Do we have any contact points over in the Middle East? What is the present situation related to the Presbyterian Church?
I knew I should have brought that. Contact points in the Middle East. Can you guys help me on this? Dewey, Raj, you were just there not long ago. Can you remember?
An official contact point, as far as I understand, we don't at this particular time. No, the plan is that as soon as possible to get the Nabil and Hassan, an independent assignment, which possibly would be the target.
Yeah, and they're targeted. The first man from there will go to Egypt. As soon as they can grow their base and the man ready, he'll go to Egypt. But as far as the church is concerned, right now that is up for grabs. That Doug and the guys need a lot of prayer right now. We have reached a crisis point, and over the over the personnel, of course. And whether or not, and all the horse trading that has to go on and that kind of a thing, which is not my bag, incidentally, but I'm sure glad we've got people that know the area that are doing this, that we do need a lot of prayer right now. Whether the likelihood is that we'll precipitate a crisis with them and hope that they throw us out of the church but not out of the country so we can get set up on our own. But that'll take some doing. And I don't understand the politics in them, they're scads of it. I've got reams of it, and I've read it, listened to Doug. I still don't know what we're talking about. But what we're doing, because Doug is handling it, and then if he blows it in some way, then we've always got a recourse, and I could go over there. And then if I blew it, we still got the board of directors, so we sort of hedged ourselves in here, in case we don't know what we're doing. But that's a critical point right now, yes. Remember, it was the only way we could get in the country when we wanted to get there. But the facts are, we have changed the rules on them. That is true. I mean, they are right. We have changed the rules. And our approach to them simply is that we have set international corporate objectives. And in line with those, that does change the picture of our agreement with them with which we first went into Lebanon. We were not going to become a sending agency, but we now, in line with our corporate objectives, want Lebanon to become a sending agency for Arab navigators, and that does change the rules. And we want to do this. And how do they think is the best way that we could do that? But underneath the fact is, we intend to do that. That's a question of how. Yes?
Why would they not want us to be a sending agency there?
I think, see, what they want to do is to control our people and the money. They want all the money to go through the church. They want to control the people. Then they can, that'd be their ministry. Now, if we could set up a means whereby they got the credit, but we kept our hands on the people and the money, that's okay with us. We'd go down there under their, in their name. But we won't let them handle the people or the money. But it can be their name. They want, but it's interesting. It makes life very, a new puzzle to solve. But it's more than that. It's prayer too, because there's a lot of investment in there. I'd like to consider it, Bob.
These 29 missionaries that are going out, are they going to independent assignments, or a couple of them going to a country together?
Number one, we're filling up complements in countries where we're now operating in order to accomplish our objectives of establishing stage one or stage two. And then beginning in about 73, we are programming Iran, as the Argentina, and Venezuela as three countries to go in as teams with a leader and a couple guys. What?
I think... Venezuela
was 75. 75, that's right. But at least we're now at the stage where we're thinking in terms of and planning this to go in as a team.
Warren, you said that whether or not the position of RD is the management tool we want to stick with is under consideration. What are some of the alternatives?
Well, for instance, the Northern Division has a state director approach. There's also the matter of a country director. Is each country automatically a region? So to have a continuity straight across the board of all RDs do the same thing or have the same responsibility is a problem we haven't figured out. We are headed towards national directors, that's for sure. I'd say at this stage, nothing for sure. I mean, 5 years from now we may do something else, but that's the way we're headed. So is that national director a regional director? Maybe not. Maybe he's an area representative because the work isn't that big. Or maybe the national director might have something as big as a division. So we don't know how that structure will work. We're trying to get something that's somewhat comparable and still gives us flexibility. And Jack and Doug produced some each a paper on this subject, and we're pursuing that. So we just don't want to assume that our present organizational structure is the best structure. Okay, let's stand up for a moment, shall we? Yeah, that's right. What else is the announcement? Well, you guys are tired. TGIF, I'm glad it's Friday. And we'll all have a good night's sleep. We'll be raring to go with Howie for a couple of sessions in the morning. And I'll just deliver myself a little something here. And if you want to write a note home, why something, we'll just you go ahead. But I hate, like everything, to labor on an outline and, you know, not at least deliver it, and then I can file it when I get close to the nearest wastebasket. I told you my message is going to be, let's get on with building the wall. But my message instead is, who's working on the wall? If building the wall is making disciples and developing disciple makers, I'm sure glad we got somebody out there somewhere who's doing that. Because I'm grateful for what we've seen over here. I know I'm not doing it. The last month, I don't think the divisional director's been doing it. I don't know how much you guys have been doing it. I don't, the Glen crew was not real. They're mowing lawns. The office crew was stuffing envelopes. I don't know how much time anybody's getting on the wall. You know, the guy's got to eat, sleep, have his quiet time, Bible study, jog, read books, magazines, clean up around the house, keep the car neat, got to have a good testimony there, and the wife went to the store for a little bit, so you got to change the baby's diapers. Then we've got to plan conferences, keep the books, attend R&D meetings, take a trip. Who is working on the wall? Now, I have comforted myself for some little time, and I have spoken to some of you on Mark chapter 4, and it's a real help, comfort to me, you know, about the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed upon the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should sprout and grow, he knows not how. That's the way I feel. The decisions I make didn't produce those results. The decision some student out there made, some serviceman, that's what produced those results. And I don't care how big a decision maker I am, it didn't produce those results. Or the decisions that you and I made, that you've made even. But I like it. You know, I said, well, he could, you know, go run an errand, take a good nap, and maybe even throw in a line or knock a ball around a little bit. And it'll sprout and grow, and he knows not how. The earth produces of itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle. And just for a moment or two, I'd rather talk about the taking the nap, the sleeping and rising. But it starts out by scattering seed and ends up by putting in the sickle. And just for a moment, a couple of thoughts about the seed and the sickle. Or to change it, keep on the wall. I remember going by the Berlin Wall and seeing three soldiers, each German soldiers, guarding two German workers working on the wall. But Dan Green told me this afternoon that he was working on a job one summer over in Manitou, and guy was doing some digging down the manhole, and he counted the other members of the crew that were standing there watching the one man down there digging. There were 14 men standing there watching the one man digging. How are we going to keep working on the wall? Who's keeping the store? Nehemiah has been quite a navigator book. You remember Sanballat and Tobiah and all the problem they caused, and then Nehemiah will stop and talk about what they did about that, and then he'll say, so we built the wall. Then they have another problem that came along, you know, and they have to take care of that, and then it says, we all return to the wall. Then they had the trouble with the enemy's going to attack them, and so they had to work at half strength, but it says those who carried burdens were laden in such a way that each with one hand labored on the work and with the other held his weapon. So they only had one hand to work instead of two, but they still, somebody was working on the wall. And each of the builders had his sword girded at his side while he built. And then it said, I also held to the work on this wall, Nehemiah says, and acquired no land, and all my servants were gathered there for the work. Well, I ask myself, Sandy, how, you know, you look at blueprints and you talk about the organizational chart and the job description for this guy and that over there. But Sandy, you know, are you laying any brick? Well, how in the world can I lay brick? Well, I suppose on Nehemiah, just, you know, so he had to go tend to some things, but whenever he got through, he was back at the wall. So I asked myself, okay, all right, you've got a big administrative job, you've got divisional directors conferences, and you've got, but when you're finished, where does your compass head you? Do you find yourself irresistibly drawn to try to work at making some disciples and developing some disciple makers? I think that's one thing I want to say to myself. And then over in Acts 6, you know, they had some great simple solutions. Let's look at Acts 6 just for a minute. Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, and we like the sound of that, don't we? Yeah, they were probably keeping up with their, you know, 12-to-1 ratio. But an administrative problem arose, and the Hellenists murmured against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the body of the disciples, and they said, it is not right that we should leave them the corporate objectives for simply supportive objectives. Now, the supportive objectives of fundraising, money management, all of these things have to be done, and public relations and taking care of the widows. Those supportive objectives have to be done, but not at the expense of the corporate objectives. So, we remind ourselves they had a very straightforward solution. Men. Therefore, brethren, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And all I'm trying to remind myself is that when this conference is over, and the month of May, which has been a honey for a lot of us, is over, when I get back to it on Monday, where do I start? Well, this tells me where I ought to start. I'm going to start with a good long time of prayer. Prayer, the word, and men. You know, that was their solution. When Jethro came to Moses, and somebody read it the other day, what was Jethro's solution? Prayer, the word, and men. And that really is the order of priority, isn't it? Who's working at the wall? I suppose that for most of us, and at least for me, I whip myself most on this subject than any other. And yet, in spite of all the protestations that people give me, I can't get away from it. When I sort of berate myself for how little ministry I do, I still can't get away from it. That the management, the navigator management outline is P-O-L-E, not P-O-S-E. It's not a pose, it's a pole. It's lead, not just supervise in the sense of a non-working supervisor. I figured up not long ago that 20% of my time that I spend as president of the Navigators is given to the preparation and delivery of messages. I was amazed to find it was that much. Well, then my question is not whether or not I'm having any kind of ministry. It's where are those being delivered and what kind of a ministry? And I'm in the midst of reevaluating a good bit what I do by way of ministry. For instance, I don't think I need to travel very much anymore to go speak to the staff. Because there is right now, we have cassettes. And with 5 years, we should have videotape. And I'm working on assembling that equipment right now that will make it possible to speak to the staff on any subject and even be seen around the world. You don't have to travel there to get your message across. The main reason I feel I need to travel is to not to be heard, but to look and to listen. And incidentally, talking about how can we keep on the wall, when that day comes, instead of bringing Jim Peterson for 3 weeks to the States or getting Scotty all the way around to come to speak to a conference, we could have Scotty or Peterson or Leroy or George Sanchez or anywhere instantly available anywhere in the world on videotape, and he can be at home counseling people and studying some more. And it'll save thousands of dollars and man years of time. And I think will enable us to use our always meager resources of personnel without running them to death on and crossing so many time zones around the world and still have the benefit of their strengths. That'll be a good deal. And of course, that's, if you can't, when we only have such little time on the wall, we need to be productive while we work. And that's supposed to be our specialty, isn't it? How to make Bible study productive. How to make the 2 hours a week you do have for evangelism productive. That's what we're supposed to be good at. And I'm pretty sure, I feel the navigators are pretty highly motivated to make everything productive. Every mealtime, 5:30 every night is my job to see to it that mealtime is productive toward family unity and family spirit de corps and family development. That's the only time we get together every day. And to make every trip productive. And of course, this is where a lot of things come in. And of course, we need to get all the time we can on the wall, so we're always working at it. Here at the office, I've been passing the word about every 6 months that we expect every person in that office to be working at disciple making. We expect everybody on the Glen to be working at disciple making. At the office, it's all but just two or three. That's a real improvement. They expect everyone to be involved in at least one intake time of the word each week by way of Bible study, and everyone at least one period of time each week by way of outlet. And everybody, every wife, every secretary, every keeper in a home that we can, to get everybody involved in working at disciple making, even if it's only an hour a week, so we get as many hands on the wall as we can. And of course, if you're even working at it or praying about it, it changes your whole thinking, your whole outlook, doesn't it? It pervades everything else you do. And of course, there's the secret of a movement, is getting many people as we can on the wall. And when we talk about a movement in the Navigators, we're talking about a disciple-making movement. And when we talk about stage three, incidentally, we are talking about a disciple-making stage three. We are not talking about a stage in one and two that's disciple-making and something different in stage three. We're talking about a disciple-making stage three. Let's not forget that. Anything that any navigator does anywhere has to be measured by, does it contribute to the aim of making disciples and developing disciple makers? And on the one hand, when we're trying to broaden this thing into a stage three, into a go ministry as well as a grow, we must never forget that the go is an outgrowth of the grow. And it has to do with the guidance, the stimulation of the alumni and the flowering of their gifts. In my mind, will produce this thing we're talking about, stage three. It's not as though we've got a navigator work over here, now we're starting something brand new over there. Disciple making is still our business. Well, you know what I'm trying to say? The unnecessary. just keep on the objective, that's all. Let's just keep on it, like a compass that its points due north, here comes some magnet, something, or a piece of metal, and it comes over here. You take that away and it pops back again. Okay, so we need to take time for a development conference. We need to plan a conference. We got to go do this, do that. And the moment that's removed, boy, it pops right back. That's what we do. Got an hour? Bing. Got a half a day? That's a word. That's the direction. Keep on the wall. Anybody want to have a saying or a psalm that you would like before we close here in 30 seconds? Did you get your letter written or shall I go on for 5 minutes? Okay. Walt, what's next on the program?
Coffee with you.
Is that so? Where's that?
Downstairs.
Downstairs.